like you to turn with me, if you will, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 28, to begin with. Genesis 28. I have upon my heart particularly the house of God and God's ways of grace with men, with us, with our hearts. And Jacob was a man like us. I should say perhaps we were men very much as Jacob was. And our needs are very much the same as his. And so as we look into Jacob's life, I trust we shall see something of God's ways with ourselves, because we are so much like him. We'll read from verse 10 of this chapter, Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. There's another name given to that place is Padan Aram. We'll be reading that name several times this afternoon. And he, Jacob, lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob was a man who had decided ideas about things. He had ideas about what he wanted, and he had ideas about how to go about to get what he wanted. And his ways of going about getting what he wanted were not usually the very best in the world. He cheated. He extorted. He deceived. He used every kind of tactic that nature could devise in order to get what he wanted. He extorted his brother's birthright, took advantage of his situation. He deceived their blind father twice as to who he was into thinking that he was his brother in order to steal his brother's blessing and many other things. As we look into Jacob's history here in this chapter, he's fleeing from the face of his brother Esau, who had threatened to kill him. And so he's flying to his mother's brother, Laban, who lived in Haran, or Padan Aram, where he would remain for more than two decades, absent from his house, from his parents, and from his brother, where he would obtain two wives, two concubines, and have a number of his children there, and to amass a fortune of cattle, sheep, and so on. And as we look into his history, he's on his way to that place. And he comes across this place in the evening, where we read of, and the sun has set. I think the Spirit of God puts that little note in there that the sun has set to show us that morally it was a time of great darkness in Jacob's history, and it was indeed perhaps the lowest point. And he goes to sleep using one of the stones or some of the stones for a pillow, lies down and goes to sleep, and he has a dream. A ladder set up on the earth, whose top reaches to heaven. He sees the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And the Lord standing above it, over all things. And the Lord has a word for Jacob. He identifies himself as the Lord God of Abraham, his father, and the God of his father Isaac. And then the Lord proceeds to, in sovereign grace, promises unconditionally that he would give this land to Jacob. Why would he choose such a vessel to give such blessings to or make such promises to? God is sovereign. Has he picked you up? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Sovereign grace. You and I are no better than anybody else. You and I are no better than Jacob. There isn't any more reason why he should have picked us up than he did pick Jacob up. That's a lesson for us to learn. But Jacob has that same lesson to learn. God is picking him up for no good reason, except it pleased God. He says, I'm going to give this land to you that you're lying on. And I'm going to give it to your seed, too. And not only that, but your seed is going to multiply greatly, like the dust of the earth. And your children will spread abroad from the top to the bottom of the land, from the west to the east. And you're going to fill the land. And not only that, Jacob, but I'm going to bless in you and in your seed all the nations of the earth, everybody. Now, all of this is is committed, is promised, without exacting anything from Jacob. No strings attached. It's God acting in sovereign grace. Well, then he goes on and speaks as to Jacob personally, and he says, I am with you. And he says, I will keep you wherever you go. I'm going to take care of you, Jacob. You're special. He's manifesting his love to this vessel of his mercy. And he's going to bring him again to that land where he now was. And he said, I will not leave thee. Isn't that a precious promise? Jacob had that promise from God that he would never leave him. We have that too, you know. In Hebrews, we read that the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is faithful. And he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. If he has picked us up, it's forever. And if he's with us, it's forever. As we were reminded yesterday, though, we're conscious of his personal presence with us only if we're walking with him in obedience to his precious word. But he won't leave us. Not until he has done all that he has spoken. Not one syllable of God's promises or his word will ever fail. They'll come about. There may be difficulties along the way before they do, and it may be a long time coming, but it's coming. The promise of the blessing of all nations in Jacob and his seed, that hasn't happened yet. This was many, many years ago. And it's been 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus was here on earth, and it still hasn't been accomplished. It's the millennial kingdom that God has promised to Jacob and his seed. It's in the millennium, the 1,000-year kingdom, when all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed in Jacob and his seed. Israel will be the head nation of all the countries of the earth. But all the Gentile nations will be blessed under them on Jewish ground when Israel's God and King reigns over this earth. But that hasn't happened yet, but it will. Not one note of it will fail. Jacob's responsibility was to believe it. That too has been brought before us in yesterday's ministry. Do we believe God when he speaks? Do we believe absolutely that what he says will happen? Or that what he says we should do, we should do? Well, Jacob awakes. And he recognizes that it was the Lord that he had seen. And he says, how dreadful is this place? You know, God, well, let me go back a little bit. He says, this place, and I knew it, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. He recognizes that he has been in the presence of God himself. And God has a house today, too, hasn't he? He has a house, and the Spirit of God is that person of the Godhead that inhabits that house. And the house of God is a place of responsibility as well as privilege. The higher the privileges, you know, the higher the responsibilities in God's things. In the early days of the church, the house of God was formed, and the church was formed on the day of Pentecost. The people of God, the Christians in those early days, were happy. They were rejoicing. They were going on together in happy fellowship and oneness of mind and heart and soul. The Spirit of God was operating in power and blessing in that day. He was ungrieved the